Om Gati Gati
Okay, there are several questions coming up here, some of which can be done very easily. Others may require a little bit of explanation. The first one is a very serious question, which says that is aging, sickness, aging and death, aging, is this something which exists in all the three realms? Desire realm, form realm, formless realm. So the answer is yes. Yes, answer is yes. If that is present in all the three, then what I said was that the evident suffering is absent in the form and the formless realm. This is what I said, evident suffering. So the aging, is it not evident suffering? This is the question. Okay. So the aging, aging has two connotations. One, where so obviously we can see that, say, the very beautiful complexion, the shape, all these things, they become worse. This is one way of seeing aging. Another one is aging in the context of simply it changes. It changes from one moment to the second. And in terms of quality, say for example, a bud, a seed, then shoot, then it bud, there's a bud coming out of that, and the bud, it changes into flower, a very tender flower. Which is more beautiful, the fresh tender flower or the bud? Flower is better. So in terms of the age, flower is older than the bud, but the flower is more tender, nice. So it's simply aging. It does not necessarily mean that it should become worse, it should deteriorate. This is not the connotation. Aging simply means it changes. So whereas in our case, we dislike aging because we tend to degenerate. We tend to degenerate as we age. Whereas in the case of formless realm, particularly the form realm, so the physical, there's no really say that, oh, now he must be 1 million years old. She must be in the first place, there's no gender in the form realm. There's no gender difference. Everyone is just more like the same. And the body, whatever, is very fine, right? So age-wise, because the karma, if the karma is there to project the person for life 5 million years in form realm, one of the form realms, then if the person already finishes 4 million years, so the person has only another 1 million year. Right, so that way we say that the person is older. So physically, we cannot see any distinction physically that this is older, this is younger. We cannot see that. So that way, the pain of aging is not there. Aging is there. Aging is there. The pain of aging is not there. The pain, right? We feel the pain when we see that we're aging. Okay. So what is the evident suffering? It's not the aging. It's the pain of aging. The pain of aging, that is the evident suffering. Aging is seen as evident suffering, which is not present in the form and formless realm. In the formless realm, there is no physical form for aging. And yesterday somebody asked, no, during the group discussion, evening, second group discussion, somebody asked as to where are these located, these realms located. For the formless, the text very clearly said that wherever you say, if somebody here has reached that formless realm concentration, very concentration, and a person dies, wherever the person dies, at that very moment, at that very spot, the formless is created. Formless comes into being because that does not require physical form, right? So therefore, there is no separate location where all the beings to take by the formless realm, they will go there. No. It's just wherever the person dies, there the person abides in this formless realm. There's no separate realm outside. It happens then. But so for the formless, no, for the form realm, the realm of the form, so there the locations are described, but the locations may not necessarily be what is perceptible to our eyes, right? Say, for example, Okay, so when we look at this flower, we see this as a flower, but for an ant, a tiny ant, the tiny ant will not see this as a flower, right? It's something huge place for it to live, right? It doesn't see this as a flower. We see this as a flower. So likewise, so it's the same object seen in two different ways, So what we see as the human realm, right? What we see as human realm, others can see it very differently. Say, for example, so this is something which we have, which will come to our understanding slowly. And yet, we have to get the information, more and more information. So one thing I'd like to share with you was that, say, my teacher, I could so well remember Sara Institute, which is close by here, Sara Institute, when the land was first bought, then my teacher and some of the students went there to consecrate, to bless the land, to do some rituals to bless the land. And my teacher, he later narrated this to all the monks. What he said was that in the process of doing this ritual, to his left side, he could see just a huge village. Then he was just wondering that, no, there can't be a village there. So this place, there was no village nearby. There was a very small village, but a huge village is not really there. He thought that it might be his eye problem with the eyes. He rubbed it again, looked at it. Again, the same village. Same village. So this is oftentimes described as the Gandharva cities. Gandharva cities. So therefore, oftentimes what is being said is that if you keep the containers open like this, containers open, empty, open, then the Gandharvas, they will easily form the cities there. Instantly they can form cities. And then when you shake it, again it gets destroyed. So therefore usually there is a system or a custom to always keep the containers. If it is empty, cover it with something like that. This is something, you know. But then the Gandharva cities, like that is there. So these things, it is slowly what we learn from the text here. We learn that the world we are seeing is seen as objectively real, so solidly there. In actuality, it is just our perception. We learn this. It's just a perception. So my perception and your perception. We can have a common shared dream. Right? We have a common shared dream. And likewise, if we all suffer from severe jaundice, then we look at this. Okay, let's say that we put on the blue glass. With the blue glass, you look at the wall, you will see this as green. The wall is green. There is no green wall there. But we will all say that there's a green wall there. And if an outsider says, no, this is yellow, everybody says, you are wrong. We all agree that this is green. Actually, the majority is wrong, because you are affected by the lens, right? Okay, likewise, what we see as the human realm, this is according to our perception. So now those with more refined meditative experience, they will have the experience of the form realm, right? Okay, this is... Okay, so this answer is given already. Now the next one is mental sense powers. Then the... Okay, so this text, keep in mind that this text is still a draft. Still a draft. In fact, there are places where we wrote colophon and left open. So this is for us to... It's a reminder for us to include the colophons. It's still a draft. It's not the full book. So the full book, I'm expecting this to come this year. And this year may extend to next year. So I simply need time. Without time, because there are so many small things like the end notes and so forth, which I'm think of including them. So to include them, I really need to work hard on this, for which I need time. Okay, so this is the... There's a few more questions there. I'll do them later on. Okay, so now... Now, with all these things, if there is one question which you have in your mind to be a linking point to the next thing which we have to go, which we have to study, so what would be that question? Anyone? From what we've learned so far, from what we've learned, yes, I learned this. Now, this is where I need to go. This is the junction from where I have to go to next. How to realize emptiness. Good. Anyone else? How do we know that? So far, we come to learn that things don't exist objectively. Things are all subjectively existent as opposed to objective existence. How can I know this? You're right. What is wisdom of emptiness? How can I know that things don't exist the way they appear to us as so objectively, so real dear? How can I know this? This next question. Yes, Carol, you have a question? Huh? Same. Very good. Okay, which means we are in the same boat. Very good. Okay. So with this question, then we'll come to know, right? We'll come to know what we're going to learn next. You'll find it relevant to what you're doing. Okay. So for the wisdom of emptiness, how to know that things are subjectively existent and things are empty of objective existence, right? Okay. For this, there is what is known as the reasonings. We need to go for the reasonings to establish the emptiness of objective existence, reasonings. So there are so many reasons given. I'd like to share with you two reasonings. One is the reasoning of dependent origination, and the other one is the reasoning of the four essentials. Reasoning of dependent origination and the reasoning of the four essentials. Okay. For all the sound valid reasonings, we need what is known as the three components of the reasoning. Four components of the reasoning. The first one is the topic. Number two is the predicate. Number three is the reasoning or the sign. Number four is the illustration. Number one is the topic. Number two is the predicate. Number three is the reasoning or the sign. The reason or the sign. Number three. Number four is the illustration. So these four must be, we need to have these four in order for one to have a valid sound reasoning. Okay, So how I would put is the first reasoning, the reasoning of dependent origination to establish emptiness. So how I put is that let me say the flower. The flower is the object, the topic. This flower is empty of objective existence. Empty of objective existence is the predicate. This flower is the object. This is, okay, let's see this. Okay, 4 points here. The flower, this flower is empty of objective existence. This is predicate. Empty of objective existence, predicate. Why? Then you have to give that the, you have to give reason. Because it is dependently originated. Dependently originated is the reason, is the sign, right? The flower is the topic. It is empty of objective existence as a predicate because it is dependently originated. It's the reason. Number three. Now the illustration is like a dream flower. Like a dream flower. Right? Okay. So this is the reason given. This is the reason given. Now to say first, the topic, what is the topic? The flower. The flower is empty of objective existence because it is dependent originated like a dream flower. Okay, so this is how the logic works to establish what emptiness is of the flower, right? Now, how this logic works, in what way this logic would help us understand the emptiness very clearly, is for this we need to know what is known as the four essentials. Four essentials. Once you know the four essentials so well, then you apply the reason that you get out of the four essentials to the reasoning of dependent origination. Okay, the four essentials. The first one is the essential of identifying the object of negation. Essential of identifying the object of negation. Negation. Identifying the object of negation. Number one. Number two is the essential of understanding. Essential of understanding the emptiness. Essential of understanding the emptiness of the objects being one with its parts. Essential of understanding the emptiness of the objects being one with its parts. Essential understanding, the emptiness of the objects being one with its parts. Number three, essential understanding, the emptiness of the objects being different from its parts. Essential understanding, the emptiness of the objects being different from its parts. Okay. Number four, the essential of understanding. Essential of understanding the pervasion that anything which is empty of being one with or different from its parts. Essential of understanding the pervasion that anything which is empty of being one with, of being one with or different from its parts, entails the emptiness of the objective existence of the object. Essential to understand the pervasion that anything which is empty of being one with or different from its parts entails the emptiness of objective existence of the object. Essential to understand the pervasion that anything which is empty of being one with, entails the emptiness of objective existence of the object. Right? Okay. So then finally, conclusion. Therefore, the emptiness of objectivity of the object is the objectivity of the object. Therefore, emptiness of objectivity of the object is the objectivity of the object. Emptiness of objectivity of the object is the objectivity of the object. Okay. Sorry. So because of the emptiness of objectivity, subjectivity comes into being. So this is implicit, right? Okay. Okay, now with this is what we need to work on. Okay. What is the first essential? Essential for identifying the object of the negation, right? This is very important. Okay, next, what we can do is that we can write on what is known as the five levels of emptiness. Five levels of emptiness, right? Let us note down the five levels of emptiness. One, emptiness of permanent, unitary, independent reality. Emptiness of permanent, unitary, independent reality. Emptiness of permanent, unitary, independent reality. Number two, emptiness of autonomous, substantial reality. Emptiness of autonomous, substantial reality. Number three, emptiness of external reality. Emptiness of external reality. Number four, emptiness of true existence. Emptiness of true existence. Emptiness of true existence while not negating intrinsic existence. Emptiness of true existence while not negating intrinsic existence. Emptiness of true existence while not negating intrinsic existence. And finally, the emptiness of intrinsic/objective/inherent/ultimate/true/independent existence. Okay, what are they? Emptiness of intrinsic/objective/inherent/ultimate/true/independent existence. Right? Okay. So these are all synonymous. We have to learn all these things, right? Just as I told you this morning that conventional as opposed to ultimate, subjective as opposed to objective, unanalyzed as opposed to analyzed, deceptive existence as opposed to true existence, dependent existence as opposed to independent existence. Okay, so I told you that all these, finally we'll see that we have to learn that these all boil down to the same thing, right? Initially, don't impose all of them as synonymous. Try to understand them separately. Then slowly, as your understanding deepens, then we'll see that they all just mean the same thing. Likewise, these six synonyms which I give you now, what are they? Intrinsic, objective, inherent, ultimate, true existence, independent existence, right? So these six, initially what we do is that we try to understand them separately, right? At times you might have to say these two, they are synonymous, right? Meanwhile, you try to understand each of these words in their own natural usage, the way it is, the way these words are understood in the natural usage in the native language. Okay, with this, then slowly, as your understanding deepens, then we see that all these six synonyms, they all just mean the same, right? When that comes, then you will get the feeling of ease. Okay, this is the meaning. Everything is dreamlike. Okay, so with this now, why I gave you these five levels of emptiness, these five levels of emptiness from the first through to number five, this is put in this order in a progressively subtler form. This is order, sequence. Is put in such order that progressively it becomes subtler, which means the first one is the grossest, then the subtler, and the fifth one is the subtlest. You're getting it? Now, say the four essentials which we're going to learn today. So, to what extent, which of the five levels of emptiness you understand it, right? That entirely depends on how precise you are, how accurate you are, how dexterous you are in the first essential, right? If you're very precise with the first essential, then you may get the fifth one. You may learn the fifth level of what we are learning today. What we are learning today is the fifth level of emptiness. Yet, simply because you learn this from the Mula Madhyamakarika, the Aranagarjuna's text, which talks about the fifth level of emptiness, it does not guarantee that you will get the fifth. You may get the first, second, third, fourth, right? So how do we know that which of the five I get? It depends on how much you identify the first essential, identifying the object of negation. You getting it? Okay. Now the object of negation. Negation means to reject, to negate, to reject. Say, if I say that, in my hand, okay, there's a flower there. Now there's no flower. So what is rejected? Flower is rejected, right? What is negated? The flower is negated, right? So if I say that, okay, there's no cloud in the sky, what is negated? Cloud is not negated. Cloud exists somewhere else. Cloud in the sky is negated. You're getting it? Okay, so there's no tiger in Deer Park. What is negated? Tiger don't negate tiger. Tiger is there in other places, in the zoo, it is there. Tiger in Deer Park is negated. You are getting it? Okay. Emptiness of there's no objective existence. What is negated? Objective existence is negated. There's no objectively existence of flower. What is negated? What is object of negation? Objectively existent flower is the object of negation. You're getting it? Okay. So if I say the emptiness of the flower, what is the object of negation? Objective existence of flower. But I did not say the emptiness of the objective existence of the flower. I just the emptiness of the flower. Yes. Emptiness, this word. Emptiness is a short form of emptiness of objective existence, emptiness of independent existence. You're getting it? Don't forget this. Okay. So, many people, not only just ordinary people, even those who are professors, right? Who are acclaimed professors and who teach Buddhist philosophy, even they say that in Buddhism nothing exists. Self does not exist, nothing exists. Just, I could not understand this. Right? I hope new professors will not become like that. Right? Okay. So with this, object of identification, the object of negation, right? When I say emptiness of the flower, don't understand emptiness simply mean shunya, simply mean nothing. That flower does not exist. This is not the connotation. So because people fail to see this word, emptiness, to be the abbreviation of emptiness of objective existence, emptiness of independent existence. Those people who fail to understand this word to mean to be the abbreviation of the emptiness of independent existence, they then fall into this problem. For example, right? Who? What is who? WHO, World Health Organization. If you read it as who, then you'll not understand World Health Organization. And then, okay, I'm working in WHO. Oh, you're working who? Right? If you don't know the abbreviation, then you are in problem. Right? If you know the abbreviation, then it's not who. It's World Health Organization. Likewise, emptiness. If you don't know the abbreviation of this, as how this is the abbreviation of something else, then you enter in nihilism. So emptiness, instantly it should strike in your mind that is the abbreviation of emptiness of independent existence, emptiness of objective existence, emptiness of ultimate existence, and so forth. Okay, if you know this, the 5 points. Emptiness is the abbreviation of emptiness of independent existence. This is number two. Emptiness of independent existence means there's no independent existence. Number three, there's no independent existence means all existences are by dependence. Number four, all existences are by dependence means everything is dependently originated. Number five, you getting it? So therefore, emptiness does not mean nothingness. Emptiness means dependent origination. Okay, let's do this again. The five fingers. The first one is emptiness. Emptiness should not be seen as nothingness. It should be understood as abbreviation of emptiness of independent existence. Number two, abbreviation of and emptiness of independent existence. Emptiness of independent existence means there's no independent existence. Number three, there's no independent existence. Number three, there's no independent existence means all existences are by dependence. Number four, all existences by dependence means everything is dependently originated. Number five, you're getting it? So therefore, emptiness does not mean nothingness. It means dependent origination. You're getting it? Okay. Okay. The first one is what? Emptiness. Number two is what? It's the abbreviation of emptiness of independent existence. Number two. Emptiness of independent existence means, number three, there is no independent existence. Number three, there is no independent existence means all existences are by dependence. Number four, all existences are by dependence means everything is dependently originated. Number five, so from these, the line of the 5 points, emptiness should not be seen as nihilism. It should be seen as dependent origination. Emptiness and dependent origination, these two are synonymous. Okay, now the next point. Dependent origination is the middle way. Okay, dependent origination is the middle way. This does not fall under any of these 5 points. Dependent origination is the middle way. How? Okay, let's see. Emptiness means dependent origination. Dependent origin means middle way. Middle way is freed of the two extremes. Middle way is freed of the two extremes. What are the two extremes? Nihilism and absolutism. Right? Nihilism and absolutism. So many people, they think that emptiness means nothingness. In Buddhism, there's no self. There's nothing. Right? This is nihilism. Which means they don't understand emptiness in the light of dependent origination. So from now, what we know is that emptiness means dependent origination. from these 5 points. And dependent origin means the middle way. And how dependent origination is middle way? Dependent origination has two sides. What are they? Dependence and origination. Right? Dependence. Dependence, what is the opposite of dependence? Independence. When you say dependence, independence is rejected. Yes? Independence and absolutism. Absolutism, ultimate, they all mean the same. So when you reject independence, you reject absolutism. But the first part, dependence, it rejects what? Independence or absolutism. Then the other side is origination. Origination means something comes into origination. Something comes into existence. What is the opposite of existence? Non-existence, nihilism. So with the origination, nihilism is rejected. With the dependence, absolutism is rejected. With origination, what is rejected? Nihilism is rejected. Bringing them together, dependence and origination, bringing them together, the two extremes are rejected. Extreme of absolutism and extreme of nihilism is rejected. Rejecting the two extremes is following the middle way, right? So from this, what we know is that emptiness means dependent origination. Dependent origination means the middle way. So therefore, emptiness means the middle way, right? Because emptiness is a middle way, it cannot be nihilism, right? It cannot be nothing exists. This is very important. Okay, now with this, say when you speak about the emptiness of the flower, what is the object of negation? Emptiness of flower. Now that we already know what emptiness means, is the short form of emptiness of independent existence, short form of emptiness of objective existence. So with this knowledge, tell me when you speak about the, when I say emptiness of the flower, what is the object of negation? Emptiness of inherent existence. What is the object of negation? Emptiness of objective existence? Emptiness of objective existence of the flower? Okay, how many of you say yes? Okay, why no? Okay, who said no? Okay, simply because I show a disapproval face, don't trust my face. Right? Who says no? Why no? Anyone? Okay, my question is, what is the object of negation? When I say, okay, there is no flower in my hand. What is negated? The flower is negated. Flower in my hand is negated. Flower in general is not negated. Flower in my hand is negated. So when we say emptiness of the flower, what is negated? Emptiness of objective existence is negated. Yes, no? Emptiness of objective existence is negated. No? Okay, emptiness is not to be negated. What is negated? Flower is negated. Inherent existence of the flower is negated, or objective existence of the flower is negated. Very good. Oh, I'm happy. Don't trust my face. Don't trust my very good. Right? Okay. Say, emptiness of objective existence is negated. What is the object of negation? Objective existence of the flower is negated. Is the object of negation. You getting it? Very good. Okay. Now, the next question. What does it mean by objective existence of the flower? Right? Okay, the first question is what? What is the object of negation of the emptiness of the flower? What is your answer? What did I say? What is the question? What is the object of negation of the emptiness of the flower? What is your answer? Objective existence of the flower is the object of negation of the emptiness of the flower. Okay, now you got it correctly. You got the object of negation of the emptiness correctly. What is the object of negation of the emptiness of the flower? Objective existence of the flower is the object of negation of the emptiness of the flower. You got it correctly. Objective existence of the flower. What does it mean by objective existence of the flower? This next question. Right? Okay, anyone. What does mean? Just speak your mind. Don't, you know, let us not be perfectionist. Right? That I should get the answer correctly, otherwise. Okay. Yes?
Objective existence
Okay, that the flower exists independently. Okay, what we'll do is that just make it a point that we listen to the other's answer and see whether it resonates to your understanding of the objective negation or the your understanding of the objective existence of the flower, right? And people may give different answers, and answers may come to the same point. We never know. So the thing is that listen to them well. Don't simply reject them easily, right? Okay, this person said like this. This person said like this. What do you think, right? Okay, then we can enrich our experience. Okay, anyone else? Okay, do you remember what my question is? Okay, anyone? What's my question? Exactly. What exactly does it mean by objective existence of the flower? Okay, that the flower existing independently. One. Yes, here. Okay, that the flower exists independently of my perception of the flower. Very good. That the flower exists. That the flower existing from or its from its from its own side. Very good. Okay, that the flower does not exist by dependence, or the flower is not created by any the factors, the causes, and the conditions. Over there, behind Maggie, yes. Okay, it exists the way it appears to me. All right, very good. Yes, over there. Whoa. Okay, the negation of subjective existence of flower is the meaning of objective existence. Very good. Yes, Carol? That the flower exists materially. This is also a very good point. Say it again. That the flower exists inherently. Right? That one ascribes the quality of inherency on the flower. Or in other words, that the flower exists inherently. That the flower exists by itself. Yes, this is the meaning of objective existence. Yes. That the flower does not change. Same. Anyone else? Okay. That the flower which exists as same to everyone is the meaning of objective existence. Good, very good. Anyone else? Okay, so we all, yes, over there. The flower exists regardless of my perception. Okay, very good. Anyone else? That the flower has some essence as a selfhood there. Oh, that's good. Okay, so the answers given, I would say 99.56% correct, right? And maybe 0.4% is missing. Okay, so that our job is to keep in mind what is known as the four attributes of the truth of suffering. The four attributes of the truth of suffering. We know this then from the answers. Okay, the four attributes, and I'll also like to bring to your notice the three levels of dependent origination. Once you know these two things, then you will know which of the answers does not feel so well here, and which of the answers fit well. Particularly, you will see which of the answers may not fit well here. So this you will understand from knowing these two things. What are the two things? One is the four attributes of the truth of suffering. And the second one is the three levels of dependent origination. Okay, the first, the four attributes of the truth of suffering. One is impermanence. Number two is misery. Number three is the emptiness. Okay, let me make it very clear. Number three is emptiness of being different. Emptiness of being different from its from one's parts. Emptiness of being different from one's parts. The number four, the selflessness of being one with its parts. Emptiness of being different from its parts. And the number four is selflessness of being different from its parts. Okay, sorry. Number one is impermanence. Number two is misery. Number three is emptiness of being different from its parts. Number four is selflessness of being one with its parts. Very good. Okay, so these four, again, we see that, say, number three and number four, okay, yeah, fine. Let's say that these four, they are again in progressively subtler. From the one through to four, we see that they're progressively becoming subtler, which means actual experience of emptiness will come only if you understand number three and number four, not number one, number two. Number one, number two is very gross. Right? So from this, what is number one? Impermanence. Impermanence means change. Impermanence means change. And precisely, change by virtue of cause and effect. No, cause and conditions. Right? Impermanence means change. And precisely, change by virtue of cause and conditions. So, this understanding of the, say, change and the dependence on cause and effect, this is not the subtle understanding of emptiness. This is very gross. Keep that in mind, right? So emptiness means it is much subtler. Okay, now with this, the three levels of dependent origination, again, it's very important, I think, that we need to know. First one, three levels of dependent origination. Number one, causal dependency, or in other words, dependent origination of dependence on causes and conditions. Dependent origination of dependence on causes and conditions. Number one. Number one is dependent origination of dependence on causes and conditions. Number one. Number two. Dependent origination depends on the wholes, dependence on parts. Number two. Number three. Dependent origination of mere mental designation. Again, these three, we see that from number one through to number four is number two, number one through to number four, we put in the order of progressively becoming subtler, right? So again, we see that the first one is very gross. Second one is a little subtler. Third one is the subtlest. So if you really want to understand the emptiness, precisely what constitutes emptiness, we have to know the third level of dependent origination. And what is the first one? Dependency on the causes and conditions, right? So that the flower depends on causes and conditions, this is a very gross level of dependent origination. Understanding of this does not suffice understanding the emptiness. It's very gross. And likewise, because of dependence, cause and effect, causes and conditions, the change is implied, change, impermanence. So the impermanence is not the understanding of emptiness. It's a very gross understanding. Keep this in mind. And there could be many books. When they talk about emptiness, they talk about impermanence. This is really not the good idea. Right? Okay, when they are explaining emptiness, oh, things are all empty because things are all, you know, impermanence, right? So this is not the correct understanding. Okay, so therefore, the first essential, what is the first essential? Now we have to go back, right? Identifying the object of negation. So we have to identify the object of negation correctly. If you don't identify the object of negation correctly, then you may end up in understanding emptiness, impermanence. That's it. This is not the understanding of emptiness. And simply by this understanding, you cannot expect to be liberated from samsara. You're getting it? So therefore, identify object of negation. What is to be negated must be understood very precisely. You're getting it? So the question is, what is the object of negation of the emptiness of the flower? Objective existence of the flower. Okay, tell me. Objective existence of the flower. What does it mean by objective existence of the flower? Okay, do you remember all the answers given? Right? From there, let us see. Right? Try to make things, whatever words that you may use, see that we understand them. Right? Don't simply use something, what do you call it? Very fancy. And jargons, which even you don't understand, right? So it's so important that we should understand what we are saying. Or let's say, says someone who is so fond of flowers, and that person is just remaining very low and sad. And suddenly somebody brings a flower in front of the mind instantly is elevated, right? The mind becomes uplifted, feels uplifted. Wow. Okay. So this upliftment of the mind happens because of what? Your mind interaction with the beautiful flower. Yes, no? Okay. So your mind is the subject and the beautiful flower is the object. Getting it? Okay. Now, so what is meant by objective existence of the flower? Objective existence of the flower is what we identify as object of negation. Now we have to know what exactly does it mean by objective existence. So when you look at this flower, objective, when you look at this white flower in my right hand, the difference is one is imaginary and the other one is real, right? Now in a very loose sense, without any philosophy, imagine that you are day one in Deer Park. Unpacking your baggage in your room, right? So there, if I suddenly come to you, say, look at this flower, pink flower in my left hand, look at this white flower in my right hand. What are you saying? Okay, never mind. Look at the imaginary white flower in my right hand and look at the real pink flower in my left hand. What is the difference? You are not exposed to philosophy. What you will say is that one is imaginary and the other one is real, right? Now, you, after 2 days, if you ask, right, you will put it slightly differently. You will put it with the same understanding, you will put it with a richer vocabulary. You will say that this imaginary white flower, it exists subjectively, right? And this real flower exists objectively, even without philosophy, but your vocabulary is so rich now, right? This imaginary white flower is subjectively existent, and the real pink flower in my left hand exists objectively. Okay, what does it mean by this flower exists objectively and the imaginary flower exists subjectively? What does it mean by that? One is coming from this subjective mind, and the other coming from itself, from the object, right? Now, when you look at the flower, right? With philosophy, without philosophy, it's fine. When you look at the flower, my question to you is, how does it appear to your mind? Does it appear to mind as though like your mind is creating it, like the imaginary flower created? Or from the object, it's coming to your mind? Which way? From the object, it comes to your mind. This is how it appears. This is known as the objective existence. That the flower existing, from its sight and coming towards the subject, not the subject creating it, right? Okay, when you look at this flower, now with philosophy, without philosophy, up to you. Just tell me what comes to your mind. How does this flower appear to you? Does it appear to you from the object, or your mind like the projector in it, and it is creating this flower? Which of the two ways this flower appears to exist to your mind? From the object. So that is no, that is deception. That is the greatest deception. That is the greatest deception, right? That is known as, that is a deception, and you believe in it, then it becomes, you believe in this perception, then it becomes self-grasping ignorance pertaining to the flower. You're getting it? This is known as self-grasping ignorance pertaining to the flower. Seeing the flower as objectively real from there, not from my mind, from there, and believing that it is how it exists, it becomes a self-grasping ignorance. Okay. Now, you look at the person sitting next to you. Don't look at too many people. Look at just one person. Just look at one person. Okay, right? Okay, now tell me, how does the other person appear to you? Objectively real? Very good, okay. That is deception. And perhaps that can make you smile. Yeah, that can make you smile, yes? So therefore, this is the greatest deception. This is the greatest deception. Number two. Number three, the thing of yourself, right? Oh, now after 8 days, maybe before that I might have to leave. Maybe I may stay another 2-3 days in Deoba, enjoy this place. I. Now look at this I. Okay, how does this I appear to you? As something your mind is creating it, or it's really solidly there? Just look at it. How does that appear to you? Solidly there from the object, or from your mind creating it? Object. This is known as self-grasping ignorance of the person. Self-grasping ignorance of the person. You're getting it? Self-grasping ignorance of the person. You are seeing the self, you are seeing others, other people, as objectively real. This is the greatest deception. This is responsible for all our miseries, stress, tension, unhappiness, fear, anxiety, depression. All these things arise because of this misperception of the self to be so objectively real. Getting it? Okay. Now, how many of you have experienced pain in your mind? All of us, right? So this pain, is this physical body or is mental? It's mental. Even this mind, just imagine that you're going through a pain, very painful experience. Say any pain, pain of losing your near and dear ones, right? Pain of whatever, whatever pain, just imagine this. Okay, tell me, this feeling of pain, how does it appear to you? As objectively real, or your mind is creating it? Objectively real. Even that is deception. So now look, said that I am so objectively real. This is my one deception. And then precisely, as I said that I am objectively real. This is what creates all the miseries. More precisely, the pain, the feeling of pain, the feeling of happiness that we go through, these feelings, seeing that as objectively real, that is the one which is directly responsible for all our miseries. That is greatest deception. Even the feeling of the same, feeling of the pain because of the depression. And look, with the depression, the pain is acute. It's so severe, so corrosive. At times you may feel the loss of, there's no hope at all. Helplessness, hopelessness will come to you. But you just, if you get a glimpse of emptiness, emptiness of this pain which I'm going through because of the depression, stress, tension, so forth. Just see to the emptiness. Even this is like a dream. The moment you get it, the pain will instantly, pain will disappear, and then you will feel the upliftment. You can feel it. The moment you get that feeling, the moment you get that feeling, you become so confident. You become so confident that now I got the key. Now I got the key to liberation. I got the key to absolute peace. This is so precious. So now look, what did we do? First, we try to see the emptiness of the object, then the emptiness of the other person, then emptiness of the self, then emptiness of the feeling, right? feeling. Feeling is a part of the mind. Feeling of the emptiness of the mind or the emptiness of the feeling, right? If you can, so say, with all the teachings of His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, where His Holiness emphasizes so much on the emptiness. So somehow, all these teachings, if you're able to boil them down to understand the emptiness of the external objects like the flower, emptiness of the people with whom you interact, emptiness of yourself, why should this happen to me? Why this person so nasty towards me, this is dreamlike. And then this very feeling of the pain, the agitation, this feeling. Even that, emptiness of the flower, emptiness of the other person, emptiness of myself, emptiness of my feeling or the mind. When you see the emptiness of these things, then you see that, now look, happiness is nowhere to be sought outside. It is in my own hands. You're getting it? This confidence we will get. Okay, so in this, the next 8 days, what are we going to do? Is to see, to study, reflect, and meditate on the emptiness of the flower, emptiness of the other person, emptiness of myself, and emptiness of the feelings, right? So this is what we're going to do. And your job, eventually what we should be doing is see that if you can revisit the recordings of this class, the meditations, all these things, and slowly make yourself independent of the recordings, that by your own effort, by your own understanding, you are able to meditate on these 4 things, the object, other person, yourself, your mind or the feeling, right? And meditate on emptiness of that. And then you feel that, okay, this is finally, I got it. Then your job is to learn how to expand, how to make this experience deeper, more profound. Okay, so we'll stop here. Make two. Yes. What is the English word for the noun form of the word synonym? How the emptiness is synonymous with dependent origination. Okay, we make 3 prostrations.